I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's April 2nd, 2025. A little bit of a late start. I'd like to apologize to you guys, but we're ready to hump. Listen, we're here to hump as long as you guys want to hump. Even if Jimmy's got a tag out like 75% through the way, no stamina, I'm here to hump you as long as you want. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. That's how we know what you guys want to talk about. I didn't even have time to turn my front-facing light on, Jimmy. I'm going to go do that now. How's it going, Jimmy?
You know, Sean, a lot of middle-aged men have that problem. So first thing I want to say is happy birthday, Josh Mansfield. I'm paying attention to the chat while I was waiting for Sean. And people said, what's the over-under on Jimmy Van being here? Hello.
Oh, hello. Wow.
So I hope he took the over on that one.
So listen, we know Jimmy loves insider trading, but he likes insider betting as well. So Jimmy wasn't going to show up here. We started to take bets on this. I called him and I said, Jimmy, easy payday right here. Let's take it. We got people dropping their fruit emojis in the chat. We greatly appreciate you guys for doing that. We got some stuff to talk about, but I want those super chats and humper chats in. I want to know what you guys think about what's going on in the wrestling world this week and honestly what you guys want to talk about. But Jimmy, you told me you had a business story.
Well, it's wrestling related. So we could talk about that whenever you want during the podcast. First thing I'll say is anybody that's got kids that like to wrestle with you.
Yeah.
I'm sporting new war wounds today on my face. My 8-year-old did a high cross body off the bed, scratched me right across the face. So have your kid wear gloves if they want to wrestle.
Oh, man.
And if you're into wrestling toys, is the new one up this week, Sean?
Yeah. So we've got the first two episodes are already up, myself and Jimmy Van, in case you missed him that much. We had what Jimmy Van actually bought from Matt Cardona. And then the second one was, what did we look at the second time? LJN Black Cards.
Black Cards, yep.
And the next one is, I believe it's Poppy.
That's what they're called? Japanese Poppies, yep.
Among what are considered some of the first wrestling figures ever. That will be up Friday. Next week, we have the LJN prototypes that's going to be coming up. Early access to all of these is available on tier 2 of FightfulSelect.com, as are our interviews, all that. Funny business story here, Jimmy. We had a gentleman announce his departure from Fightful Select last week, and he said, I just wanted to send you this message to tell you exactly why I'm canceling. And I was like, okay. And he goes, when I saw that you put that Brian Danielson interview behind a $10 paywall instead of the $5, $6 paywall.
I saw that.
I immediately canceled. And I was like, gentlemen, our interviews have been on the early access tier for 7 years. This is not a new thing. And then we released them for free on YouTube.com/Fightful. But without fear, we got plenty of those this week as well. We had Luke Curtis, who did a bunch of extra work for TNA, AEW, WWE, New Japan. We've got Grapsity interviewing Speedball Mike Bailey tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're dropping that Japanese Poppy figure video. We'll probably take a little break like around WrestleMania week and then pick those videos back up after the WrestleMania and Squared Circle Expo videos die down, but we got a whole lot of content coming your guys' way.
I have to ask, your feed for me is very choppy. Am I choppy for you? Because I don't know if it's my internet or your internet.
Doesn't seem bad to me.
Okay.
Am I choppy to anybody else?
Yeah. Let us know if Sean's feed is choppy or maybe it's mine. I don't know.
It's you. Think it's you. But we do have super chats, humper chats. Ryan Lambert says, why is Roxanne seemingly in booking limbo? This is a theory. It is not a report. Everybody that I talked to a couple months ago said Roxanne is poised for the main roster. We expect her to come up here, feud with Bayley, and that just kind of got dropped. Well, seems like Bayley, her stuff has been switched around. Now, I know that the current direction isn't what was pitched creatively a couple months ago, like in January, because I know most of what was pitched for her. And it's not the Roxanne thing. So I think that what happened was some things got shifted around, and I believe that Roxanne was sort of an unfortunate bystander in that situation and unfortunately compromised her imminent plans on the main roster, which I think is a mistake. I think she should have been pushed hard immediately, faced Bayley at WrestleMania, and beat Bayley. I think that's what should have happened, Jimmy.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I want to ask you a question, and people might consider this subjective, but I think a lot of people are going to agree. Over the last couple of months, the WWE product, for lack of a better word, has been lackluster.
Yeah.
Why, in your opinion, do you think that is? Now, I know that there's been a lot of frustration about SmackDown being 3 hours, and that probably can contribute, but Raw has been somewhat lackluster as well. What do you attribute that to?
WWE right now has 5.5 hours of content to produce, which is, you know, even when we had the 3 hour Raws, it's still more content than they were producing then, because SmackDown was not just 2 hours, but it was, I feel like, a much easier 2 hours. It was, you know, promotion heavy and promo heavy and all that stuff. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, a lot of bookers flame out after 3 years. I think what WWE has done well to sort of keep a lot of those criticisms at bay is they have at least one like really fire thing on almost every show. And for a lot of WWE fans, we watched during an era of which there were zero fire things on any show. I mean, Jimmy, some of the stuff that we covered in the early days of Listen, Your Boy were so bad.
Oh, yeah.
We were over the moon that Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman were feuding. We were excited about it. But like, it's one of those things where I think that until they really, really leaned into a lot of the Vince-isms, and by that I don't mean terminology, I mean booking tropes. I mean like people getting title shots off of nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean rematches all the time. I mean like a lot of things that are just happening over and over and over again. And those tropes, I think that they got away with it for a little bit longer than they would have under Vince, because by then people were just sick of it. But now, coupled with the insane ticket prices and a lot of day-to-day fans, like if I didn't get media credentialed, like I could not responsibly buy a ticket for a family of 3 to 4 go to SmackDown or Raw. Like, I think that is probably leaning into some of the criticism as well, because there are many fans that feel like they have effectively been priced out of the thing that they supported for a long time. That's just my look at it. Everybody is different. Everybody will have a different approach.
Yeah, and they will. Yeah, because some people are going to say that everything is firing at all cylinders. When AEW started,
it's good business. Learn about supply and demand. You know, yeah. And all that shit too.
Well, when AEW started, the one thing that I used to always say is I felt Tony Khan at some point was going to burn out because of soccer and football and everything. And the AEW product for a while was pretty lackluster, and you could maybe argue that that contributed. I'm wondering with Hunter, not only do you got Raw and SmackDown and NXT, and I know he doesn't do the day-to-day of NXT, but still, you got NXT. Now they have like LFG. They've got all this other content. Plus, Hunter's involved heavily on the business side of things too. He's aware of all the contracts. We'll talk later about the Peacock contract. He's aware of all this stuff. Do you think he's spreading himself too thin with all of this, the new ventures that they have, plus he's handling the business side of things too? And do you think maybe that could be contributing to burnout a little bit and impacting the quality of the WWE product?
I don't know about that, because I don't know how much in the day-to-day he has to do with Evolve or LFG, which, by the way, I will say, people were like, well, why don't WWE buy TNA and get them a better TV deal? They literally started two companies of their own within WWE and just got them better TV deals. So that's why. But I think that If anything, I don't think it's Triple H exhaustion. I do think there's some fan exhaustion from it. Like, to the point to where I didn't even see people particularly complaining about LFG or Evolve. People are just simply not going to watch
I agree. Like, I mean, I did. I had no clue who Swipe Right was. I didn't know.
There you go. Yeah.
And so if anybody missed it, they were on NXT last night. I had no clue who they were.
Sure. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can't. It's impossible to keep up with everything. And this comes from a person who, as a kid, I was watching Buddy Landell matches on Mania on Saturday morning and watching WCW Pro and stuff like that. Like, anything I could get a hold of. But for adults that have responsibilities, it's nearly impossible to cover all those things. That's why Steven Jensen does The Weekender, because it's specifically his job to cover everything that we don't have main shows for on Fightful, and we do that on Fightful Select. Best $5.99 in the business now, Jimmy, I'm told. But yeah, that's one of those things that I think there's some fan exhaustion here. And WWE hit that period a few years ago as well. It looked like in the late 2010s, or the mid-2010s, they were starting to have a resurgence in mainstream culture. You know, Ronda Rousey popping up and a lot of stuff like that. The Rock showing back up. But then the audience is like, man, it's too much. There's so much stuff. And now we're seeing it again. But I think they're also really leaning into their hot period. And they're like, well, we're going to make this money while we can make this money. So we're going to do a show on X, on Tubi, another one on A&E.
Right.
We're going to sell the rights to SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania while we are hot right this moment. But
right. Right. Yeah, that sounds like it's very likely, because last year they seemed to really have peaked. They had so many people that peaked at the same time, like Cody and Roman and Drew McIntyre and Rhea Ripley, and all of these hot stars got created at the same time. And it does feel like, for the most part, they're letting that stardom kind of ride out the way it is without necessarily peaking further. So yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree. And don't get me wrong, WWE's still doing great, because there's going to be people now that say we're shitting on WWE. They're still doing great. I saw some discourse on Twitter about, oh, they're not selling out Mania. They're not selling out Mania. And people don't understand, the ticket prices are so high, they're probably still going to set gate records.
But you know what I mean? Like, they are so confident they're going to sell that out. The comp situation, I would argue, is, I don't know if you remember when we reported it a few months ago, how wrestlers were having to, like, they weren't able to get comps by and large.
Yeah.
Like, some of the top, top, top stars are being told, nope, this is the amount you get. It's like one or two tickets. Mm-hmm. That's it. Don't ask for more. Got to pay for them if you want them. And I'm like, eesh. Mm-hmm. To the point to where, like, some people are hitting me up, like, what should I do? And I'm like, you should probably just negotiate it into your next deal. Mm-hmm. That's what you should do. Because whatever amount of money more WWE is going to be paying out talent, they're going to try to get that back somehow. You're going to be signing more. You're going to be giving up your comps more, all right, that stuff.
But and you're telling me if Roman shows up with his mom, his dad, his brothers, Hunter's going to say, one comes in, the other out the door. No, it's not going to happen.
No, but if anybody more than that shows up, then they're going to ask him to buy tickets.
Really? For Roman, even, you think?
Yes.
Really? Really? Wow.
That's the word.
Okay. Okay.
Toby says, backstage reactions to the Gulf of America thing. Nobody cares. I mean, listen, I hate to rain on a lot of people's parade, and you guys, by and large, probably know how I feel about it. I think the idea of renaming something like that is so fucking stupid. Like, who could possibly care?
But is Toby referring to El Grande Americano? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Yeah. And it was a thing that they were just poking fun at.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked at it I looked at that like this. Obviously, I'm not Hispanic, and I don't find anything offensive, but I know people who are Hispanic, and I was looking at people like Demon Diva, and I was looking at even Jose the Assistant. They were cool with it. They thought it was funny.
Yeah, so, but they don't represent everybody either, and vice versa.
Granted.
So it is for a case-by-case basis. Like, it's one of those things where I think that the idea of renaming it is so stupid anyway, that my initial assumption was, the creative team there probably looked at it and said, this is so stupid, it should be applied to this also very stupid
thing. I think it was supposed to be. Yeah. I think it was supposed to be. Like, the whole thing is supposed to be a joke. And I just don't find Chad Gable's thing offensive at all. I think it's funny.
Amir gets in a super chat and says, PW Insider, that reporting that Rusev is signed with WWE. That is what is has been expected. I reached out to people close to him. Even they were surprised. They didn't know it was coming, but I was told it's coming together like right now. But he's a person that hopefully under Triple H will have an honest to God run. You thought he was going to have that in AEW. He didn't. But now, if you're going to do it, now is the time, because man's going to be 40 this year. It's time to go on that run. But fortunately, there's nothing that he can't do that he was doing 5-6 years ago as well, physically.
Yep. And I've said this before about Miro, Rusev. Let him show his personality on television. Don't just treat him like that evil foreigner guy. He used to post so many videos on social media of him like singing Garth Brooks in his pickup truck. Cause I think they used to live in Nashville. I don't think they do now, but they did. So he'd post videos like in his pickup truck, singing Garth Brooks. The guy's funny. Like, let him showcase it on television. I'm a big fan of Miro. I've always liked him. I've always found him to be an interesting guy. Remember I told you way back, I thought Lana was the star of that duo, and it shifted in my head. And now I thought, no, Miro is the star of that duo. And let him showcase his personality, man. I see a lot in him. I've always,
I do too. Cora and JC have been wonderful in TNA. I have been screaming for JC Jane to be on the WWE main roster for years at this point. I will never forget specifically. She was there with Toxic Attraction, I want to say. She had like a one-off appearance, or maybe it was like a very, very short-term thing. And I looked at it and I was like, I think they beat Natalya and Sonya Deville. It was almost 3 years ago. And I thought that she just really translated well to SmackDown. And then before I could even ask, I had people there raving about her. So, I mean, obviously somebody that I've been banging that drum for quite a while. Were you surprised they put the North American title on Ricky Starks? No, not at all. I would just be surprised if he was there much longer than WrestleMania, because I'm like, you do need him in NXT. Because they need star power in NXT. That's probably why he's there, because creative was set through Mania. But he doesn't need NXT. He should be on the main roster cutting promos.
I want to ask your thoughts on this for a minute. This is on my list. So Ricky Saints, of course, formerly Ricky Starks. Now he's North American champion, former AEW wrestler. He beat Sean Spears, former AEW wrestler. Now it looks like Ricky's going to get into a program with Ethan Page, former AEW wrestler, who is also now a former NXT champion. My question for you is, NXT, you know, they're still developmental, but they're big business now. They're doing big numbers on the CW. Do you think it's by accident that they are featuring right now prominently on the men's side? No. Former AEW talent. You think that's intentional? Because they want guys on expiring contracts in AEW to know you got opportunity here?
I absolutely don't think it's an accident for that reason that you mentioned. I think it was a big part of Cody getting a monster push besides him being extremely qualified. I think it's a reason why Lexus King has gotten a lot of opportunities. I think that if you are WWE, after so many of your talent left of their own volition to join AEW, that you now show people, well, you've got a great opportunity here. Not everybody's going to be Swerve or Ricochet or Tony Storm.
Yeah.
You come here and you get an opportunity as well. And I think that's very, very important for WWE. And listen, there's a heavy, heavy talking point here regarding AEW, WWE, and I guess we might as well go ahead and get into it here.
Sure.
Thomas says WWE counter-programmed All In with Saturday night's main event, so AEW counter-counter-programmed by moving All In to 2 p.m. So who will counter-counter-program? I said, I can't wait for Saturday mid-afternoon to early evening main event. The first ever. So that happened today, Jimmy. This does a number of things, in my opinion. Gets rid of the counter programming. They will likely be able to tout a pay-per-view buys record if globally they are able to push past some of their old stuff because of the time. Because I am of the belief Will Ospreay should win the Owen, win the title at All In, carry that title into Forbidden Door the same week that you've got WWE around there. That way you got a heavy media push. You're able to do that. You're able to keep the All In time consistent from recent years as well. Not that that matters too much, but they're going back to London next year, I believe. So you keep that consistent. You've got WWE mentioning AEW or referencing AEW like five times this week. You had the Ricky Saint Shawn Spears promo, which I don't think was like malicious or anything. Yeah, it was here's some history stuff. And he said, oh, you can always go back to, and he goes, wait, you've burned down every bridge that you've had. Punk says, I still work with children, which got the same non-reaction that most of his references get. You got Cody bringing up getting booed in AEW. You got John Cena saying that Cody steals money from millionaires, which again,
billionaires' kids,
I don't think was a shot at Tony. I think it was a shot at Cody Rhodes' drawing power more than anything. So the references, and CM Punk walking by the windshield and Drew being through the real glass, Cry Me a River.
Yeah, but do you think that was meant to be an AEW thing? Do you think
Come on.
Really?
Absolutely.
You think it was?
100. Five times this week it got brought up. So, like, I don't even look at these as shots, these five. The Tony fumbled thing from the NXT audience, clearly. But they don't control that. So I look at these as just references. And I also agree with MJF. I don't have a damn problem with any of them. Mm-hmm. None of them. No problem whatsoever. And he said, if you want to be treated like a child, go watch Elmo or have Vince McMahon start up another company. Because Vince McMahon is the reason why other companies didn't reference each other. It was him. Like, he was the one that was always into that. People today don't care. They make pro wrestling history. But what a very extreme shift to doing this so much. I know that I just unpacked a lot, as I say, Jimmy, but this all ties in together.
So I've always said, we've talked about this before. I've always said that when you're number two, you should pick your spots and take jabs at number one and kind of let them know that you're there. When you're number one, you should make like number two doesn't exist.
Yeah.
My first question for you, and this might be hard for you to answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. In the case of the talents involved, and as far as the promos go, I'm going to forget about the NXT one, but Punk, John Cena, Cody Rhodes, obviously they're upper echelon guys. Do you know if those references were scripted and approved or improvised? Is that something that you would have any guess on?
They would. I mean, almost everything is scripted in WWE. Even if it's their idea, almost everything is scripted. There have been promos that I have said, man, that sounded really off the cuff. And then a member of the writing team will send me the physical script. And I'm like, oh, damn, okay. And in an amount of time that they could not have just typed it up. So almost everything is scripted in some degree. And also, I've seen a lot of tie-in with this. By the way, Bret Hart didn't die, but this guy says, Bret Hart fell off my Mount Rushmore. Bret Hart having reactions to AEW on the Hawani show shouldn't affect that. Listen,
it's not the first time he's talked about that stuff.
It's not. Like,
where have people been? He's talked about this stuff before.
And this is tied in because a lot of people say, well, it's AEW pay-per-view week. So, you know, negative AEW PR. Clearly, Ariel Hawani has a contentious relationship with AEW. WWE loves the negative AEW publicity on pay-per-view weeks. But I mean, it's very clear that Brett doesn't watch the show. Like, yeah. Brett doesn't watch AEW, and that's
He didn't even see the Cena heel turn.
No, he does not watch this stuff.
No.
And it's saying that there's not work rate in AEW and it focuses too much on story is comical, because that's the opposite of what most of their detractors say. And I love Brett. I love his family, but it's pretty evident. And also, I don't think WWE urged him to do that, because Brett would just tell on them eventually if they did it anyway. Yeah. He was promoting.
Brett's gonna do whatever the hell he wants.
Now, the counter programming thing, I saw somebody say to me, oh, you all want competition till somebody does things competitive. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't want a monopoly in wrestling, because I covered wrestling when there was a monopoly and I was on food stamps. So I don't want to hear that. I don't want that world again where there's one person, no challenging, no inspiration, no leverage for people to go elsewhere. Hell no.
I mean, you're way past microwave lasagna now.
I am. And listen, I'll say this. The moment I got off of food stamp was the moment I signed with Fightful. So there you go. Jimmy Van has never fostered an environment where I was in that situation. But like, I covered wrestling during a Monopoly and it sucked. It wasn't good. It was some of the worst stuff. I think it's lame as hell for WWE to counter program shows like that. I don't like it. I would not like it if AEW did it. If AEW said now, oh, we're gonna go Monday night every week. There would be some initial buzz, and I'd be like, "Man, is this inconvenient?"
Would kill them. Yeah, it would kill them. Well, do you remember? Do you remember when WWE did it the first time? I think it was with an NXT show, and Tony Khan had the reaction he had. Remember when he's at the scrum and he's got the big guys, and I'm not going to sit here and take this fucking shit and all that. And you remember you and I did this podcast, and what did I say to you? I said to you, if I'm Nick Khan and Triple H, I'm looking at AEW's calendar. And I'm booking a show against every single AEW pay-per-view. And the reason you do it is it's business. That's what it is. And I understand fans don't like it, but it's business. And so it doesn't surprise me one bit that WWE's been doing this because they already saw that they can kind of rattle AEW by doing it. I think it's very smart of AEW to counter and move all in earlier in the day. And I didn't even think about the European thing. Like you mentioned, that's also a good point. But it was smarter of them to move it because they had the ability to do it with a pay-per-view. It's different if you're on television, but with the pay-per-view, yeah, they had the ability to do it. But WWE, if I was Hunter and Nick Khan, I would still do it. Every pay-per-view, I would throw something against it because you can. It's business. That's just how it is.
I wouldn't. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's stupid. I think it's lame. I think it's just corny as hell. I don't like it. I wouldn't like it if AEW did it to WWE.
Sure. WWE wouldn't like it either, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, as a fan, as a viewer, I'm like, it's really exhausting. It's really exhausting. And I'm like, man, what are we doing here? At what point do WWE run an issue of signing too many guys, including AEW talent? They can't book them all properly like they're women. Well, they're already in that position. They already have a ton of women that they're not booking appropriately. And somebody says, what's up with this Natty Indie tour? Because they're not booking her appropriately. It goes right into that person's super chat and humper chat. Now, they are nowhere near the talent hoarding era of 2018 to 2020, where then they had to mass release people because they didn't know what to do with them. Keep in mind, WWE kept Deonna, Chelsea, and Stokely Hathaway on the bench for like a year at a time in NXT under Triple H. So this is something that they experienced back then as well. Mm-hmm. But I look at this and I'm like, okay, a lot of this and the not being able to use them is because, you know, they, for some reason, they didn't want Natty to go to AEW. Well, what difference would it have made based on how they've used her since then?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they look at her like a mentor, you know,
of type course. Person
and, yeah.
But then use her way that you told her you were going to use her at least.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think, have they used her at all since they signed her? I mean, she was in
almost not at all. And finally she's doing something with Maxine.
Right. Yeah. 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 So yeah, I agree.
To tie this all back in. And I want to make this clear. I have not verified the numbers or anything like that. You and I spoke about it briefly, but BJ Bethel of SE Scoops, who I do know has a WBD contact, had reported that the WBD or the HBO Max, the Max numbers rather, would push it up near a million. Now,
no, 1-2. He said 80%.
I've done a number of polls that, you know, are definitely sample size. It's my audience, hardcore wrestling fans that follow a wrestling reporter, mm-hmm. and an extreme amount of both polls have shown, including yesterday's, 46.5% claim that they watch on Max. 22.9% say they watch illegally live. I'm not talking about after the fact, live. And again, this is a wrestling journalist, media guys poll.
Yeah.
69%, nice, watching via other means of TBS when your numbers have been going up on TBS. Certainly at least bode well, because I mean, wrestling fans do make up a huge portion of wrestling shows audience.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. Now there were a whole lot of people, a lot of detractors that were
angry.
Yeah. Livid. I love this. It was so funny. It was so funny to watch the cope. Yeah. I saw these same people as I was reporting things tell me that I didn't have any WBD contacts. Then we got the press release before it got out. We had when it was coming out. We had all that info. And Jimmy, you know some of the people that I talked to there. But there are a whole lot of people I see people say, name your source. And I'm like, y'all don't know how this works, do you? I got the information straight from a WBD rep in January, mind you. Straight up named their position in the company that AEW was among the top streamed live sports. And AEW didn't even know that at that point. I got a call from someone high up in AEW and they're like, well, we're thrilled to hear that because we don't get the numbers for Max. A lot of execs at WBD don't get the numbers for Max. Where do you stand on all this? How do you look at that and sort of decipher all this, Jimmy?
Yeah, you and I talked about this yesterday off the air. So I think AEW is drawing a million plus viewers combined between TBS and Max on Wednesdays? No. But do I care? No. And the reason I say that is AEW right now, they got a contract, a three-year contract that doesn't expire till the end of 27. So is this something they need to really worry about right now? I don't think so. And I look at it like WBD clearly cares enough about AEW that they make sure that when they have prime live sports on, they put them on afterwards to get that big lead in.
Even and if it works. Regular,
yeah, and they do that on purpose because they want to open up the brand to a big audience. They wouldn't do that if they didn't care about the brand. So I don't think they're doing a million viewers. I think if they were, there'd be a press release, there'd be a Twitter post, there'd be something touting that they're doing a million viewers. But at this point, they're fine. AEW's fine. And so I posted on Twitter yesterday, but why are people angry about this? Who gives a shit? Because they're okay. You know, like they got a new contract. They're all right.
I wouldn't be surprised if we did see a press release like that, especially with word of the numbers, even if it wasn't the numbers. I would be surprised if we didn't hear a most viewed live show since.
Yeah, there'd be something. 100%. 100% there would. Yeah.
They used to send them all. They used to send them all the time. Like, yeah, they used like to all the time.
You and I were hypothesizing, okay, maybe they're doing 100,000 viewers on Max. Maybe they're doing 200,000 viewers on Max. It's fine. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're doing fine. And they've got their contract and they can worry about it in the summer of 27. Cause that's probably when they're going to look at the option.
And it's so funny. Cause you'll hear people who do not watch the show, but hate the show, which doesn't make a lot of sense, say, well, why are their ticket sales going down? Well, they're not, even though they're going to smaller venues, they are drawing comparable or bigger audiences. They're paying less money for those venues. They're getting hotter environments. Revolution was, I think, the second most attended Revolution ever behind Sting's. So, like, that's positive news as well. Why Solable says, we know AEW is annoyed with counter-programming. How does WBD feel about it? Do they also get frustrated, or is it another business thing? I've honestly never heard how WBD feels about it. I heard years ago how USA Network felt about it because I spoke to an exec there that says, we care about the numbers that our show gets, not about the numbers that another show gets. So that's why we want it on Tuesdays. NXT, that being said, on Tuesdays. But
I've always been curious about how USA feels about Netflix, because people can so easily watch SmackDown on Netflix with a VPN. And I've always been curious how USA feels about that.
You mean NordVPN.com/Fightful, Jimmy?
There you go. Yeah,
I've always been curious. You know what, Jimmy? I consider that a safe bet.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
We'll have our lock picks over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 in the business this week. Jimmy, since we have started our partnership with BetOnline in December 2023, we are 20 for 20. And by we, I mean in lock picks for pro wrestling, including a number of underdogs. Last year, when Rey Mysterio was an underdog heading into WrestleMania, I said, no, friends. Put your money down on him. When Samoa Joe was an underdog at World's End, I told people to put their money on him. And you know what BetOnline said? Luis was in our chat and said, bring it on. Bring it on. If you can take that money from BetOnline, do it.
I don't know if this would be a conflict for you. So is there somebody named like El Grande Amerisapo that's like making bets? Because I don't know if it'd be a conflict for you to do it.
I haven't for that reason. But listen, when I was negotiating with BetOnline, I was like, I'm leaving here with something. I'll get that money somehow, buddy. We don't redo this sponsorship. I'm leaving here with something. Uh-huh. Then we renewed for a year. But we got tons of Humper chats, by the way. A lot of them. Let's dive right into them. Nulak City says, nice to see you back, Jimmy. Find it funny how if WWE or AEW mentions WWE, everyone loses their mind. But WWE not only keeps taking shots at AEW, but literally trying to hurt their business, which SRS you spoke about. How is this double standard okay? Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray, and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. I mean, it is evident, Jimmy, like, first off, there are weird people no matter what, but certainly I see a lot more venom when AEW does it than when WWE does it. Which, again, I think the ones over the past week weren't shots. I think them counter-programming was a shot. They were subtle. I think most of them were referencing a story or like a little wink and a nudge.
Yeah.
I don't mind those things, honestly. If it's in, I just don't mind those.
I mean, it would be different if Hunter was in the ring on a motorcycle challenging Tony Khan to a fight on pay-per-view. That would be different.
Yeah.
I agree with you that it's subtle the way they've done it. I still have always believed when you're number one, you should make like number two doesn't exist. But in this case, they were subtle and it kind of fit the narrative, at least with Cena. It fit the narrative with the CM Punk one. And this is the other kind of element of it. I think if you're not a smart fan, you're not going to get the reference. So the CM Punk one, I think a lot of people probably didn't even get it that watch.
If Triple H, like if they did an angle where CM Punk tore up Gorilla and Triple H then said, I feared for my life. That right. would not be a good-natured shot. Him walking by Drew McIntyre, his former foe, put through a windshield. It's like, oh, there's some growth there. There we go. I don't mind that at all. But, I mean, I find it very weird when people do. I thought MJF's tweet was perfect about that. And Nulak City, who, again, I want to thank because he's always sending us super chats and humper chats. Or actually, he's always sending us humper chats, which we greatly appreciate. Says, hey guys, I really get tired of these old head wrestlers that constantly hate on wrestling or are politically corrupt. Looking at Val Venus's disgusting comments on Chelsea and Booker T upset about Swerve's comments on black representation in wrestling. Well, listen, your boy has been on the absolutely fuck Val Venus train for a long time. Like he's
did Valdez take a shot at Chelsea? He took a shot at Chelsea.
Yeah, because she supports transgender people.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say Chelsea's like the greatest.
Yeah. Listen, I encourage everybody that hears anything that Val Venus has to say to go to valvenus.com, which our good friend Matt Kuhn purchased and sends it to Advocates for Trans Equality, the Trevor Project, a lot of stuff like that. What I love is there are a lot of people that now buy URLs and they just redirect it to valvenus.com as well, which I like. But listen, Val Venus is cooked in the head. Not a nice guy. I'm sure he'll.
Yeah, he's a little different. Well, you know what? Let me say one thing about this whole veteran thing, because I know that they're talking about Bret Hart and what he said about AEW
and Rob Van Dam.
Okay.
And I want to, I'll clarify my stance on that after you do.
Yeah. So if you go back and look at, say, wrestling historically, I remember 80s wrestlers crapping on ECW in the 90s.
Yep.
And I remember 80s wrestlers crapping on the Attitude Era. This is just kind of how it's been. I saw Meltzer post something about how Lou Fez said that Shawn Michaels was like a choreographed dancer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of how it is. And all, you know what? I've talked about it before. Like the style of wrestling that AEW often will present with some of the more high-flying guys. Am I a fan of that style as a fan? Not really. You know, I prefer more psychology and selling. But am I going to go on Twitter and shit on it? No. Because entertainment's subjective. You can like what you want to like. And if I don't like something and somebody else loves it, that doesn't make them wrong. So Bret, I don't really know. I can't speak for him, man. He came from a different era. It was a different time. He seems to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder when it comes to the mm-hmm. business. I don't know if it's because of the way that he had to leave the business, but it's just always been like that with the previous era kind of not jiving with the current era. That's just how it's always been. This is what you're hearing now from guys like Bret is nothing that hasn't happened for decades.
And Rob Van Dam had said he doesn't consider what Jon Moxley and Cope did wrestling with. And even people on our staff was like, oh man, like you wrestled in ECW, and I'm not going to say this is or isn't wrestling. I didn't like that spot. I understood why they did it and all that stuff. It wasn't for me. I didn't like it. I would never seek out stuff like that. I loved ECW. I didn't like when they dipped their fists in glue and glass and punched each other. Right. I didn't like that
crucifixion,
either.
Like all that stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff there I didn't like. And he said there's a lot of stuff there that he didn't like as well. But my God, man, like I people can think what they want. Like it doesn't affect you. You can just move on. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
Any thoughts where Gail Kim or Veda Scott signed to AEW should bring in Veda Scott as a commentator immediately? And whoever is willing to pay Gail the most amount of money, I could not believe that they fired Gail Kim. Talent relations experience, creative experience, booking experience, obviously wrestled at a very high level. If I were WWE or AEW, I'd be bringing her in immediately, Jimmy.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised when I heard the news. And the reason I say that is it's so common in business when you have a new regime come in. It's so common for them to kind of want their people. And if the existing regime has, because I've heard that Gail was, she's got a backbone, right? So she would push back with something she didn't agree with. And when you have new management come in and they want their people, and if the old regime has people that maybe don't necessarily share their vision on everything, that's what happens. So it didn't surprise me. But I've seen so many videos of people putting her over and so many videos of talent that she just had like a universal respect. So I agree with what you're saying. And of course, she's a good Canadian girl, too. So I'm always going to put her over for that. But I think she's going to be able to do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah. And I mean, she could have retired a long time ago. She's very smart financially. I mean, obviously, her husband isn't exactly hurting for money or work either.
I'm surprised he's never gotten in the ring, to be honest with you.
My God, he's
jacked. Thought maybe that might happen. Yeah. I know he's a bit older, but I thought he might get in there.
Listen, with the shape that he's in, though. Yep. With the shape that he's in.
I think he was in the military too. So like he
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Also, Fit Crunch bars are legitimately delicious. Big fan of those. But That was a shocker to me. Sean, any update on EJ Nduka? He was teaming with Lee Johnson, now just off ROH. They've moved EJ over to doing stuff with Blake Christian. EJ, I haven't heard the latest on him, but he needs to be involved in something. He looks like $1 million. I haven't heard of anything of late, though. Good morning, fellas. Jimmy, my son turns 13 tomorrow. Well, happy birthday, first off. Oh, he said, for his birthday, I got him tickets for System of a Down and Deftones at the Rogers Center.
Oh. Oh.
Get me those tickets. Where's my tickets? I would love to see System of a Down.
Good luck with the traffic and congestion, my friend. Good luck with that. Whew. Downtown Toronto is not pleasant these days.
My God. You know what? I like it because I just Uber and then bill it to you. But anyway, he says, we're from Cali. What can a 13-year-old go do in Toronto? We'll be there for 4 nights at Radisson B. Oh, man. Toronto's beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a bunch of things. So if you're going to be right downtown, there's, and man, I forget some of the names of these places. There's a bowling alley down there, very close to Rogers Center. For some reason, the name escapes me, but there's a bowling alley down there. There's the aquarium now in downtown Toronto. There's also the CN Tower. And what I would tell everybody is go for a meal at the CN Tower. There's a restaurant up there called the 360. It's not like fine dining. Don't go up there expecting like a really nice, well-cooked steak. But
don't go all the way to the top. Don't fall for that tourist trap of going all
the way
to the
top. Did you
do it, Sean? Hell yeah, I did it. I billed it to you. Of course I did.
Oh, okay.
My lovely wife and I did this years ago when we were first exploring, before I became a crafty veteran of Toronto, which I will say this, myself and one of your former employees, Vitura, we went for a nice walk there a few weeks ago. I knew where I was. It was so wild after being there so many times.
Yeah.
Like we walked along the water and I knew where I was.
Well, the 360, just to finish my point on it, the 360, the restaurant spins. That's why they call it the 360. So if you have a meal up there, you can basically see the entire city as the restaurant rotates. So that's pretty cool. A Rec Room. Thank you very much, Joel Pearl.
Oh.
Rec Room is the name of the bowling place. And someone else mentioned
I got kicked out of there once.
Yes, I remember. Castle Loma is in Midtown. It's a castle, like an actual castle. And they have a restaurant there too. So you might want to check out Castle Loma. Somebody said
Jay's game.
Could do that too.
If tickets aren't too expensive. Town,
yeah.
If they're in town, the Blue Jays or the Raptors. Listen, seeing a Raptors game is on my still got to do list for sure. But man, Toronto is a lovely city. Listen, it'd be better if you were going in the summer. I'll just say that the weather's going to be filthy this week, but it'd be good.
Joel, there's a lot to do down there. There's a lot.
Speaking of our friend Joel, he says, don't come to my place. But you know what? You know where you can see Joel? At Circa Las Vegas in a couple of weeks. Our good friends over at Circa Las Vegas are hosting Joel. I got to see their WrestleMania week plans, and they've got a great setup. If you're you're from the area, you want to go there and hang out, they've got like cabanas you can rent, all kinds of cool stuff there. They're going to have shows from Chris Van Vliet, Busted Open Radio, lots of great stuff there. And a ton of wrestlers are going to be hanging out there. A ton of wrestlers do hang out there. In fact, after one of my reads mentioning that Joel was going to be at Circa Las Vegas, I can't put out how long this person has wrestled in WWE because they'd give away who they are. They were like, oh, I was hanging out at Circa last week. Like they hit me up and told me, check it out. Circa Las Vegas and their Circa Mania. I got the opportunity to check it out in January. It was fantastic. Next time I go to Las Vegas, I am certainly going to be staying there as well. It is wonderful. But so are our awesome audience that have sent in a bunch more Super Chats, Humper Chats. I will be here as long as you all need, but Jimmy might have to dip out in a bit. I don't know what his deal is.
Yeah, 10 minutes or so,
You said you had a business story.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this because this is pretty fascinating. So it's not currently related to wrestling, but it could be. So according to the Sports Business Journal, and you probably heard about this, according to the Sports Business Journal, Major League Baseball is looking to sell the Home Run Derby as an individual media property instead of keeping it in the existing package because they're leaving ESPN next year. According to Andrew Marchand from The Athletic, the league could get anywhere from $30 million to $50 million just for the home run derby. And the reason that this could be relevant to wrestling is Triple H did an interview with Sports Illustrated in January where he revealed that the contract with Peacock expires in March of next year, March of 2026.
Yep.
That means that they're probably negotiating now, or they will be soon. And can you imagine now how this opens up possibilities? I'm sure a lot of people think, oh, they're just going to go to Netflix, right? That the U.S. rights are going to go to Netflix for PLEs. But what if WWE says, all right, you can get all the PLEs and you can get the documentary specials and everything that we do on Peacock, but not WrestleMania. WrestleMania is going to be its own entity. That could very well happen. And so it's interesting that this is kind of where the landscape has gone with media rights. What do you think about that? This is something I hadn't even really considered until I heard the Major League Baseball story.
Well, I'll tell you why it's a good idea. Let's just say the NLCS, I think last year, they as I see an article, the championship series averaged 5.3 million viewers on Fox, TBS, and FS1. And the viewership for the Home Run Derby is usually like up there or more. Mm-hmm. Like it's the most watched thing usually, unless there's some insane event or the World Series. And you should sell that individually. If it is that much of a draw, you should absolutely sell that individually. I think so. The 2021 Home Run Derby, as I look, 7.1 million viewers.
Yeah. Now, obviously,
watching it legally.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, Major League Baseball, they have to tread lightly because you don't want to impact the value of your overall package too much by taking it out. But because of what we're seeing with media rights increases, I think they'll probably be fine. And I think WWE would probably be fine too, you know? And and so this is something that could very well happen. You might end up seeing WrestleMania, as an example, go to one outlet and the rest of the PLEs go somewhere else, just like what they do with Raw and SmackDown. You can see that happen. So it's pretty fascinating and just opens up another world of revenue streams for them.
I wonder if this regime wishes that WWE Network did or didn't exist because they would love to be charging $80 for WrestleMania. They'd love to be charging $100 for a two-night package for WrestleMania.
Yep. Yep.
They would love that.
Vince had the foresight with the network, but he screwed up with what they did with WrestleMania. And I know years later he tried to pin the blame on the co-presidents at the time. But you're right. Like the network was a good idea, but including Mania for $9.99, that was a big fumble.
I mean, I think it was a really good idea in general for WWE because they were able to take NXT, license that out, their documentaries, license those out, their library and PLEs, license those out. And then they have spawned off, oh, well, hey, you buy these documentaries from us, A&E. Why don't you let us air this other show on A&E and pay us for that too? Pretty smart. Yeah. Will John Cena bring back a spinner belt? Almost certainly, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. Yep, I think so. I mean, he more or less said, I saw that some people at first were confused when he said, I'm going to retire the belt. And I saw some people confused saying, oh, he's going to retire as champion. That's not what he said.
That is what he said, though. He did say that.
No, but what he meant was, I brought the spinner belt in. People considered it a toy. They said I disrespected the business and the traditions of the business. So I'm going to ruin wrestling because I'm going to win my 17th title. I'm going to retire that belt, meaning Cody's belt. I'm going to bring the toy back. And he did say that he was going to go out as champion.
Yes.
But what he was alluding to was I'm bringing the spinner belt back.
Well, I mean that too. But I mean, he was largely saying that anybody else that is a champion after he retires is a paper champion and not valid because they will never have beaten him for it either.
Right. So but I think absolutely there's going to be a new spinner belt and the merge possibilities from it, you know?
SRS, can you find out for me what the VIP deck is all about for All In Texas? Want to get tickets for that section? It's 800 plus with no description. I'll ask about that. I don't know if I'll have an answer for you by tonight, but I will certainly ask about that. And, WrestleScope asking about Miro says, if true, hope he gets booked better than Andrade. Cena is WWE's Thanos when he wins 17. Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be a Summer of Punk type of thing where it's like, oh, my God, he's going to leave with this. And I think that whoever beats him should be the next big guy. Even if it's not Cody, Like if it's Braun Breaker or somebody like that, it should be somebody like that. Cody should get his win back from him after that. And I think that Cena should then have his brief babyface run to end his career.
For sure.
And I think that's the right way. Although it would be very funny if every time John Cena comes back for cameos, it's as a shit heel.
I felt like his first two appearances after he turned heel were kind of a waste because they've only got like 36 of them.
Sure.
So I felt the first two were kind of a waste, but I thought they really knocked it out of the park this week. This week was
this is incredible. Yeah. I love the back and forth. I didn't like the John Cena buries talent. A lot of this is a little too inside baseball for me.
Yes.
Like, there's
yes.
enough meat on the bone to where you don't need to do that, but they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Pat says, the reason I hate WWE counter-programming AEW, but not the other way around, is WWE is such a power position. There's no way their business is under threat by AEW. It's like with comedy, punching down versus punching up. Weak-ass shit. I mean, it also doesn't benefit WWE to do it either. Like, it just hurts AEW.
Yep, that's why they're doing it, 100%.
Yeah, yep. That's it.
I mean, you remember, Johnny, I don't remember what pay-per-view it was. It might have been the first Survivor Series in 88 or 87. When Vince put it on pay-per-view opposite whatever Starcade, and he told the pay-per-view providers, because WWE was hotter. So he told the pay-per-view providers, you got to pick me or them.
I think that's why Royal Rumble Clash of the Champions had something similar as well.
Rumble, they did the same thing where they put it on USA at the same time as a pay-per-view. Yeah, it's business. And like, I understand the fan perspective, but I understand the business perspective. And you're right. They're doing it to hurt the competition. That there's no other reason. That's why they're doing it.
I just can't imagine. And I'm not saying I'm comparable to WWE, but I could not imagine seeing post wrestling do a show at a time of which I don't do a show, like Thursday at 2 p.m. And then me going, Jimmy, we got to go live at 2 on Thursday. I can't wrap my head around that. Even if we were the most visited, viewed, I can't. Like, stuff like it will be naturally occurring, but not that. Johnny Watford says the brackets for the Owen are released tonight. Who do you think fills out the bracket with Ospreay, Jay White, Hangman, and who would be your pick to win it at this point? I would have Ospreay win it and then carry the title into Forbidden Door, doing media there and all that stuff. Ooh, I would probably put Hologram in the tournament for one, since he's
with his new sidekick.
Yes, but having a big showing there, I would have. I mean, you already got Ricochet and Speedball doing something else.
Yeah,
I think you got to make it like as big a name as possible. So probably like, well, I mean, Adam Cole's already in the TNT title picture. I would load it up with top names or perceived top names, because you win some, you lose some. There's nothing wrong with losing in this tournament. And I think that's a thing that Tony has to establish. There's nothing wrong with losing to the best of the best. I cannot confirm that Luis is Hologram, though.
I just want to see Swerve Strickland beat the crap out of John Moxley at Dynasty. That's all I want to see.
Me too. I want to see that as well.
Yeah.
Also, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. Thanks, Patreon. Has news on some names backstage at Dynamite tonight and some news on a big match that's planned. Just clarifying some things and hearing or mentioning what I've heard about a big match that some people have been talking about. But news on if Mako may work another match in NXT. The talent there are hoping so, but I haven't heard that she is. She had been back in the States, but I haven't heard that she is yet. I know she's been invited to a couple things, but I hope that she does, because she deserves a big send-off. But whatever send-off she wants is what she should get. Jimmy is here because he sprained his ankle running from the grind. We're all humping, so let's crank to no questions because I have select. Cheers, bro.
If only I could tell him about this, all the shit happening in my life. I wish I could, but
listen,
the days get busy, man.
If I told people why I was just late, Jimmy, I told you.
Right? Yeah, you did.
Baffling. Yeah. Oh, I did. Yeah. Listen. Also, while I was out there, our friends at StockX sent me these bad boys.
Look how nice.
Those are. Love those.
You know, I'm a shoe guy, Sean, don't you?
Yeah, big time shoe guy. But subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Discord access, constant Q&A access. I've got a Q&A field that's up there all the time. We drop like Q&A articles almost every day now. Like it's become such a hit, like the most aggregated stuff. And I got a weekly Q&A too. Why did WWE still go with USA for SmackDown when Netflix could have taken all their programming for the US audience? Same way for international users. Money.
Yep.
They stood to make more money by separating them than including them. But they looked at a lot of their international stuff and they said, you know what? We feel most confident about how hot we are right now and locking that in with Netflix. And it streamlines a lot of that stuff. And quite frankly, they're probably allowed to lay off a lot of people now as a result of that, not doing international deals now. Imagine all the people and all of the management that would be spent on negotiating those deals over the next 10 years that are not going to be needed now, Jimmy.
I think as time goes on, and Nikon said this straight up already, but I think as time goes on and as more deals expire, they're going to look to move more of them to Netflix. And the only concern there is Netflix, I don't think would think twice about cancellation, depending on what the contract says. I don't think Netflix would think twice about cancellation if they don't hit the numbers they expect, because Netflix has that reputation. But it's great for WWE. I mean, they're on the biggest streaming platform in the universe, you know? So it's good for them.
Terry says Roxanne should use a handspring knee. I bet she will like change some stuff up whenever it is that she goes to the main roster, especially. Tony, he says, I'm asking once again, Toni Storm, BAFTA, Emmy, win. Listen, she's wonderful. I would be shocked if that ever happens with a pro wrestler.
Do you remember that time that there was a push by WWE for that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? They pushed for Emmy consideration 1 year.
The woman who writes for Mercedes is an Emmy winner. I think multiple-time Emmy winner. Jen Pepperman?
Hell, Chris Van Vliet is a multi-time Emmy winner.
So is John Alba.
John Alba. Yes, that's right.
John Alba. A girl I went to school with as well. Which, listen, feel like I could win an Emmy then. Bill 74. Bill, thank you so much. Says, hi, Sean and Jimmy. I know people hate on AEW, but this year's Dynamite and Collision have been excellent. Also, great to see the women getting pushed recently. Three women's main events on TV in a couple weeks. And Jimmy, I don't see the negative in doing this. It's wonderful PR. It's great opportunity for the women. Quite frankly, it's often your lowest rated segment anyway, meaning the main event segment, not the women's mm-hmm. segment. So mm-hmm. if you can see them give it a boost or something like that, I don't see a negative in doing such a thing. Like maybe you can find out discernibly if there's like a drawing element to specific women as well.
I mean, to quote the late great Bobby the Brain Heenan, these girls are not ham and eggers either. Like no, Megan exactly. Bain is Megan Bain is for real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like these girls are not scrubs. And so they deserve the opportunity. What do you think about, you might've talked about this last week when I wasn't here, Mariah May. I feel like she'll stay with AEW. They've really handled her well, but you know, I think you reported the news that her contract's coming up.
What do
you think about that? Yeah, what do you think about that?
FightfulSelect.com. So, I mean, when I initially got the news, it was in a way that I really had to dig and make sure I verified it, because it was straight up brought up to me as Mariah May is going to go to WWE. And I was like, well, now hold on. There's a number of months left on that deal. Like there's no way that deal would already be worked out, but
I mean, she's also prominently featured. You know what I mean?
Not since she lost the title, hasn't been featured at all. Yeah. But I will say, when looking at that, it's always something you got to dig into. And I talked to WWE and a lot of the elements of the story just that people were throwing my way. It's like, well, this is true, but this isn't. Like they haven't started to talk to her. They can't. Yeah. They could, but that would hit torturous interference level. And I don't think after Penta and Phoenix that they're going to do that as well.
I saw a lot of social media discourse because like she was a fan. Right. And so I saw pictures like here she is at WrestleMania.
Everybody is.
Right. Right. Like, I just don't think anything of it. I mean, you go where you get the bag, you know what I mean? Granted, there are some wrestlers that go to WWE because they grew up fans. That's how it is. But at the same time, go where you're going to get the bag. She's going to do fine either way.
I mean, unless you're me and then you just sacrifice for the good of Fightful. course.
Yeah. Every time I do payroll, I think to myself, Sean is such a sweetheart for sacrificing like this.
Oh, you'll think that, Jimmy. Peyton Carter said that bonus hits soon. Peyton Carter says,
I know.
When do you see winning Sunday between Mox and Swerve? Really hope Swerve wins it.
Swerve's going to lay him out. He's going to lay him out. It's going to be a decisive victory. Has to happen.
There is no satisfying ending to this pay-per-view that doesn't end in Swerve winning.
Even if Swerve
drops the title in a few months or 1 month, if he dropped the title in a month to somebody,
right?
Whatever, but like,
the Moxa thing's going to end. Yeah, it's going to end, and put it on Swerve.
Three more months is, it's just, had Tony and Mariah main evented Revolution, I think they could get away with Swerve not winning this weekend, but this would be tough.
Mm.
Any update on Keith Lee? Unfortunately, no. The last I asked of him was, or asked, was that he was still under contract, and that was it. I wish I had something more for you, but the last time I asked, I was just told he's still under contract and haven't heard anything specific. Haven't heard that he's particularly been around except for like a Texas date as well.
He's been posting these messages on social media.
Very cryptic. You know? And he says it's not related to wrestling.
Right. Okay.
But also he knows that people are going to assume that. Like, he's a very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts of Swerve on Vlad TV. Enjoyed it bigly. So a lot of people have a lot of feelings on Vlad himself. But it was an enormous platform for Swerve to be on. And it's one that if you are Swerve, you do not turn down. And if you're Booker T, you don't turn it down either based on what Vlad has put out there into the world.
I told Sean yesterday, Vlad pulled an SRS with the receipts.
Well, again, I mean, Vlad never brought up Booker T that I knew of until that happened. And it's just like, oh, man, maybe Booker T misremembered it. But then Vlad today really going at Booker T for his connections to Chase and Rance as well.
He did that today?
He sure did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He sure did. But as far as Swerve, I'm like, you got to do that. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, why is he bearing WWE? And I'm like, he talked about his experience there. He said a lot of great things about it as well. I do think there was a major miscommunication and disconnect from what he said regarding his firing and how it was responded to, because I just think people should listen to the interview themselves before saying that he said something.
I mean, the fact Hunter wanted him back right away, right?
Yeah. Kenny G and the fact that he also wanted the rest of Hit Row back as well. I don't know if this was asked, but what do you think about Meltzer saying something to the effect that Max had 500K viewers for Dynamite, but that no one knows? Well, Meltzer didn't say that. He said they could. He said it was possible. But yes, higher ups in AEW they don't get these numbers. This is something that we put out there in January. Like, they don't get the numbers. When I reported that they were a top viewed live streaming property for sports, people in AEW were like, well, we didn't even know that. So
can I throw one more business thing out and then I got to go?
Yeah, for sure. I've got a few more super chats after this. Yeah.
And I just want to say this because Josh Heady on Twitter asked me about this. So I wanted to mention it. That's the Endeavor acquisition by Silver Lake. Did you talk about that last week?
I did not. Go ahead.
Okay. So he asked me about Endeavor being acquired by Silver Lake and if this is going to affect WWE. And the answer is no, this is actually not news. It was actually a year ago that it was announced that Silver Lake was going to acquire the rest of Endeavor's shares. They already own like 70%, I think. And they announced last year that they were going to acquire the rest and then they were going to take Endeavor private. And that's what they've done. So it just closed and Endeavor now is a private entity. Doesn't affect TKO. Endeavor is still the majority shareholder of TKO Group. Ari Emanuel still involved with Endeavor. Mark Shapiro still involved with Endeavor. And even if that were to change, Ari Emanuel was never involved day-to-day with WWE or UFC for that matter. He always had Dana White heading up UFC, Triple H and Nick Khan heading up WWE. So even if those guys exit, which I'm sure they will at some point, shouldn't affect TKO. It's not relevant to it, but that's what happened.
You got to hit the bricks. Thanks,
bud. Yep, got to go. Enjoy your week, everybody.
See you, guys. Bye. I've got a few more super chats and humper chats. We'll get Jimmy the hell out of here. Get out of here, Jimmy. Run me that bonus. Anyway, Have a few more super chats and humper chat. Has Camille been taken off AEW TV for now for being too similar to Megan Bain? That was absolutely not why. She was off TV well before they brought back Megan Bain, or at least well before that. Like, if anything, they would probably want to build them parallel to each other and then have them clash at some point, but that's not why. I'll be over at Fightful Select right after this, guys. Got a couple of news reports dropping. Dream Ninja says, how about Mox's reaction to Marina talking about ripping Willow's liver? Amazing. I think this has been a really good element of this story. Working in Willow, who isn't an AEW day one-er, but is a person that a lot of people feel is synonymous with AEW. You know what I mean? And somebody that they look at and they go, okay, she represents AEW and is a very important part of it. And her being the one to finally stand up for the AEW guys by neutralizing a person that realistically they can't touch, I think goes really, really far. I think it goes a long way. I think it's very important to do that. And Willow is so likable that her doing that also goes a long way. Because again, she isn't an AEW day one or anything, but like, when did she first show up there? I want to say 2021. So she's been there for about 4 years, but like her winning matches and not being like a dark jobber started 3 years ago. And she's ascended so well since then. And she's been such an important part of this show that I think that that's great. And Jon Moxley really selling that helps a lot as well. Swaron, great to see you again. So just hear me out. Heyman betrays Reigns, sides with Punk. Braun loses IC title. Heyman takes him under his wing, helps Punk when needed, but not as a bodyguard. Or Heyman sides with Seth at Mania. I know a lot of people have like fantasy booked Heyman as Braun Breaker's guy, but I don't think Braun Breaker needs him. Like, my God, Doja Cat firing up on my phone on itself. I don't think he needs Heyman. I think he talks and is convincing enough without him. And as we have seen in the past, like Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Ryback, like just having Heyman associated with those people doesn't necessarily send them into the stratosphere. I think everybody knows that Braun Breaker is going to go into the stratosphere anyway. Now, the CM Punk element of it, I'm here for. I think that would be very interesting. And you finally have that severance between Heyman and Roman, and you got that natural story. Why isn't SRS talking about that dude that found him sexy a couple days ago? It wasn't a super chat. It was not a super chat. It was a Facebook comment, which, by the way, as I wrap up, we are making a major move into some other social media platforms. Obviously, we're on Blue Sky, but specifically, I would love for you guys to follow us on Instagram. We are at Instagram, and it's Fightful Online. We are also on Facebook, Fightful Online. We greatly appreciate if you followed or liked us over there. There's going to be some exclusive stuff, and we're about to ink a deal with TikTok, so we're going to have a lot more there. Over on TikTok, we're Fightful.com. Make sure you guys check that out. Listen, I know we got a lot of platforms. We got a lot of stuff. We're on audio platforms. If you all want to subscribe over there as well. But TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We also have Fightful Scraps, where we've got a bunch of clips, game streams, and the like. We're about to do some commercials for Fightful Overbooked. Somebody says, isn't TikTok shutting down again? Listen, they got to run me my check anyway. I hate to tell you guys, they're going to have to do that. But the more you guys support us, check us out, even follow us, the more our team can expand, the more cool stuff that we can do. I know that some of you have seen some of the info docs that we have done here on YouTube with Mike Straw, where he was in the chat earlier. We covered Heroes of Wrestling. We covered TNA doing the Monday Night War. We did, my gosh, History of Tribute to the Troops, the New Japan Exodus to WWE. Tons of that. I did a story behind MJF interviews. It was just, we've done so much cool stuff lately. Excited to do more. Man. Till next time, we're out.